Chapter 2. A Remarkable Discovery. 2 days later, the coachman brought the luggage from the train station. The coach was covered with cases, boxes, and crates. The name on all of them said, Mr. Griffin. There were many cases with straw, and you could see strange glass bottles inside them. Also, there were heavy boxes filled with thick books and other papers. The stranger stood outside the inn in his coat and hat. He was watching to see that they were unpacked carefully. "Come along," the stranger said impatiently. "I have been waiting for days for my boxes." As he reached for the box, suddenly the coachman's dog growled and tried to bite his hand. As the stranger tried to kick the dog away, it began to bite his trousers, and there was a loud rip. The coachman whipped the dog, but everyone could see that the bites had torn the stranger's trousers and gloves. The stranger swore and threatened the dog. Then he rushed into the inn and went to his room. "The dog bit him," announced Mr. Hall. "I will go to see if he is all right. It might be painful." The door to the stranger's room was half open and Mr. Hall pushed it open. Suddenly, he saw an astonishing thing. A handless arm seemed to wave at him, and a dark face with three white spots came towards him. The door hit him violently in the chest, and then it was locked. It was shocking to see this creature, like a ghost, and Mr. Hall could not breathe for a moment. After he returned to the coach, the coachman asked about the stranger's bite. Mr. Hall did not think it was a good idea to tell them about the creature. They might think he was mad. "Yes, he's fine," he answered. "Just fine." But the coachman looked at him strangely. His leg was black when the trousers ripped. "I saw it. And his nose is pink. What do you think about that? Some of him is black and some pink. You get horses like that sometimes." Mr. Hall just shook his head. "I don't know. He is certainly strange." Mrs. Hall looked closely at her husband, and she could see that he was pale and quiet, and then she remembered her dream of men with no faces. Later, she took the stranger, Mr. Griffin, his dinner. Despite her loud knock, the stranger did not look up from the floor. There were open boxes and bags everywhere, with piles of books and straw covering the floor. Mrs. Hall could see many colored bottles with labels that she could not read. There were powders and liquids in them, and Mr. Griffin had already put many on the shelf and the window ledge. Mrs. Hall wondered if they were poisonous. On the table, there was a pair of scales and a box of test tubes. Mr. Griffin must have heard a noise. He turned suddenly, and Mrs. Hall thought she saw two holes where his eyes should be. In a second, he turned back, and she then saw that he was wearing his glasses again. Was that real? Did she imagine a face with holes for eyes? "I told you to knock before you come in," Mr. Griffin said angrily. "I did," answered Mrs. Hall, scared now. "Perhaps you should lock the door if you are working." "Yes," he said firmly. As she left, he shut the door. All afternoon, the room was quiet except for footsteps. Then, as it grew darker outside, Mrs. Hall heard a glass smash and then another. Mr. Griffin was throwing bottles at the wall and shouting angrily. "I can't go on. I can't go on. This is so unfair. The order is wrong. That was just the start of the work." After the crates and boxes arrived, Mr. Griffin spent most of the time in his new workroom in the parlor. Mostly, he worked quietly, and food was left outside the door or inside his room if he unlocked the door. Sometimes, he became angry again and threw bottles and shouted. When this happened, he would pay the landlady some money for cleaning, so she did not complain. Often, he would talk to himself, as if he were solving a problem in his head. He could have spoken in French or Greek because neither Mr. nor Mrs. Hall understood a word he was saying. In Iping, everyone went to church, but not Mr. Griffin. He rarely left the room or the inn. When he did go out, he would wait until the evening and would wear the long coat, gloves, and scarf, even when the weather became warmer. One evening, a farmer and his son knocked into him as they left an inn. Both were frightened by a face that looked like a ghost. The local children said he was a monster and they made up songs about him. That is what it is like in small villages, people make up stories when they don't know the whole truth. Some said that he was a criminal and covered up his face to hide from the police. Others said he was a spy from the east, and a third group just thought he was a madman. Mrs. Hall told the villagers he had had an accident, and he was embarrassed to see anyone. Honestly, most villagers just decided that he was rather strange and that they disliked him. However, Dr. Cuss, the local doctor, wanted to know more, and he was determined to meet this strange Mr. Griffin. He was desperate to find out what was in the bottles and what was under those bandages. Of course, the foolish locals did not understand what was wrong with Mr. Griffin, but he was a doctor, and he alone could solve the mystery. Or so he thought. Dr. Cuss needed a reason to visit the stranger, so he decided to ask him to give some money to his medical fund for the village. Mrs. Hall saw Dr. Cuss go towards the parlor where Mr. Griffin was working. He was gone for about 10 minutes and then she heard terrible laughter. Dr. Cuss appeared with a white face and a look of horror. He could not say a word at this point and left the inn immediately. What new trouble is this? Thought Mrs. Hall. Upstairs, the laughter continued. Dr. Cuss didn't know what to do. The only option that came to his mind was to visit the vicar. Bunting, the vicar, was astonished to see Dr. Cuss at his door. The vicar was shocked by his face and thought he needed some spiritual help. "Come in. Let me help you, doctor," he said gently. "Tell me what has happened." The doctor did exactly that and told an incredible story. When he entered Mr. Griffin's room, there were bottles and papers everywhere, and the stranger was sneezing and sniffing as if he had a bad cold. When the door opened, a piece of paper flew towards the fire and that man reached out to catch it. He put out an arm, but there was no arm, just a jacket. Dr. Cuss whispered the last part. But it wasn't a false arm. The sleeve had an arm in it, but there was nothing there. I spoke to him. "Where is your arm? Why is the jacket moving without an arm? How can you move an empty sleeve?" Dr. Cuss told the vicar of the horrible smile on the face of Mr. Griffin. There was a pause. "So this is an empty sleeve, is it?" he asked, as he held out an empty sleeve. "If this sleeve is empty, if there is no arm, then what is this?" Dr. Cuss seemed ready to cry and full of fear when he said what happened next. "This empty sleeve pinched me. There was no hand, but a finger and thumb pinched my nose. I felt pain, but there was no finger and no thumb. Then I hit the arm. I could definitely feel the arm as I hit it, but, I promise you, Vicar Bunting, there was nothing there, nothing at all,